If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 103. I'm going to read 8 to 18. And I want to talk about our Heavenly Father today. This is Father's Day, and there's lots of great stories we can talk about our fathers. We heard quite a few of them over this past week. Some shenanigans that our fathers had been have done, and that made for some few laughs on that. I want to talk about someone that's far greater than our earthly fathers and talk about our Heavenly Father. So Psalm 103, 8 to 18, it says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender, compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we'd never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to his children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments." May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Well, today is Father's Day, and I want to honor all the fathers in the house and all those who may be watching online. Fathers are valuable, and we as a church are extremely blessed to have so many fathers in church. And I remember when I first came here 30 years ago, what a blessing it was to see so many men in the church. And that's really important. That's not always the case in every church. We were hoping to get to the church, one of the churches that my sister pastors, and it's all ladies that are in that church and from that community. And but with the turn of events, we didn't make it down there. But, you know, it's a blessing to have men in the church, and we are very blessed and have been blessed in this church for numbers of years, even before me, that we had numbers of men here in this church. You do make a difference, and we do thank you for being part of this church. Now, when it comes to Father's Day, it is a time in our society when we are encouraged to honor our fathers. Now, I know we also could have a time where people could share about their fathers, and maybe some Sunday, maybe we'll do that. I think that would be an interesting time, because we heard quite a few of those stories at a Mac, and then as I got to visit my own family as well, hearing some of those stories about my dad as well. So there's lots of stories that we can tell about our dads, and that's pretty great and awesome. And I'm sure there's others of you that could testify about father-in-laws or adopted fathers, stepfathers, spiritual fathers. There can be a lot of fathers in our lives, and I know that many of you could testify of some pretty neat stories and great things. I've been blessed to have a great dad, and I have many good memories of him. Very thankful for the time that I did have with my dad. This week, at a time with my father-in-law, and there's been some good memories there too. And had an opportunity to speak blessing over him, thanks over him, and pray over him, and palliative care. And he's asking that we continue to pray. He doesn't want to see this cancer take him out. He says, I want to be raised up from this. So I said, we can pray that. And but he said, but if not, I'm ready to go. So we have lots of stories that we can tell of fathers, spiritual fathers, respected fathers that we've looked up to throughout our lives. And I've been very blessed in my life to have many fathers, spiritual fathers in my life. Almost 2 weeks ago now, just before we left, one of those respected fathers passed away. And I thank you for praying for Ken Gill. I know we had various prayer groups that were really praying for him. He had a lot of people, thousands of people that were praying for him. Great father, spiritual father, great man of God. And Judy and I had respected his friendship and counsel. And every time we faced a crisis here in our own church, he'd be one of the first people I would call to get some counsel and some guidance. And he would always give that and always had great things to say. And certainly he will be missed. His funeral's this week. I'm going to run to Calgary tomorrow as they have a viewing. And that works a little bit better for me than Tuesday. So you've got to keep that family in prayer. They certainly do appreciate that. And I used to send to him, sometimes I'd take a picture of the people that were praying for him and send it down to him. Or I'd be saying, you know, here's 18 people tonight. They're gathered here. They're praying for you. Or if we were out in Goodfish, we're praying for you. If we were having our seniors group, we were praying for him. And so some neat experiences there with fathers and that we, I trust, all have had. And certainly as men of faith, it really is our challenge that we would be men of faith, men of courage, men who encourage others, men that are good fathers and good spiritual fathers. And again, I know there's a lot of experiences. Some people have a greater experience with their spiritual father over their biological father, just because certain things happened or whatever. But we're thankful for fathers today. And we want to be good fathers. We want to be good spiritual fathers. And as I was thinking, you know, along those lines of Father's Day and the great fathers that have been in my life, I just began to think more and more about my Heavenly Father. And I've been very blessed and encouraged by the relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father. And over the years, he's become a greater voice in my life, a greater comfort, a greater encourager in my life. And of course, that relationship is only possible because of Jesus Christ. The way to the Father is through the Son. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, God. Well, I know God, or I worship God, or, you know, they refer to him as a creator, or refer to him as a supreme one, or refer to him as a higher power. But friends, you will never know the Father until you come to Jesus Christ. And that's so very, very important. Opening up your life and belief in Jesus leads us to that place where we get to know the Father. You can't know the Father without knowing the Son that he sent. Jesus put it really clear. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And I've done that. I trust you've done that as well, that you've opened up your heart to Jesus Christ, that you've welcomed him in your life. You've chosen to believe in him as your Savior and your God. And as that door is open, it also opens the door to the God and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so one can say with boldness, I know the Father, and the Father knows me. And that has certainly helped my prayer life. Knowing as I pray, as Jesus says to pray, he says, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, it really helps when you know your Heavenly Father. And as you're praying, that you realize that he's listening to you, that he cares about you, he cares about the situations that you're in, the things that you're going through, and that he's fully able and he wants to help us and even considers us as his dear children. I like the story that Jesus used to illustrate the love and care of our Heavenly Father, the story of the sparrow and the lilies of the field. And I'll just read a small portion of that story. It's found in Matthew 6:30-33. And it says, if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And of course, he goes on and talks about those lilies of the field and talks about those sparrows. And that little story came a whole lot more real to me when a lady that prays for me, that prays for her church, actually, I didn't even know she was praying for me until one day when she called me tell me, no, I've been doing this for a long time, praying for you. But one time when she came to our church and shared in her church, she brought me this carved sparrow. And she said, I felt to do this to let you know that your Heavenly Father sees you and that you're valuable to Him. And I still have that little carved sparrow sitting on my desk. But that's the kind of Father we have. He loves us. He cares about us. And that's important. I am blessed to have a wonderful relationship with my Heavenly Father. And when He speaks, it's a little bit different. It's kind of something that kind of jolts you when you hear the Father speak to you. It's kind of like calls you to attention when He speaks. And I've been very blessed that I've had that relationship with my Heavenly Father, and I'm very, very thankful for that. So on Father's Day, I thought, that's who I'd really like to talk about. There's stories I could tell. I could get you laughing, telling you stories from my dad or telling stories from Mac, even the ones we just heard this week alone. I could get a lot of laughter, but I really want to talk to you about my Heavenly Father because He really is such a wonderful and precious Heavenly Father. And I'm just going to concentrate, though, on just really one verse there this morning, because just for time's sake. And it's found in verse 8 of that Psalm 103. And it simply says this: the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. Now, that's a wonderful description of our Heavenly Father. It's not a full description by any means, but it is a description of our Heavenly Father that He wants us to know that's who He is. And so that's what I want to share with you just from this verse here this morning, and trusting that it will indeed encourage you. So first of all, we see that our Heavenly Father is a compassionate Father. He sympathizes with us. He cares about us passionately. He rejoices when we're happy, and He weeps when we weep or when we're sad. He cares deeply about us, and He wants to help us. He's moved by our circumstances. He's moved by our trials, and He desires to intervene and to help us. Basically, compassion is sympathy with an urge to help. So it goes beyond sympathy into a greater area. So that verse 8, it says, the Lord is compassionate. He understands. He sympathizes with us. He sees what we go through. He sees the good and He sees the bad. But He's always there, ready to support us and ready to help us. He really cares about us, invites us, cast all of our anxieties, all of our fears, all of the cares to Him. 1 Peter 5:7, I don't think I have this on the screen because I changed some things through the sermon here, but 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God because He cares about you. So our Heavenly Father is a Father that is compassionate and He's caring. And He invites us to bring all of those cares, and whether they're worries or frustrations, whatever you're going through, He wants you to bring them to Him because He cares about us. So He really wants to be involved in our lives, showing us that He does care, letting us know that we can come to Him and we can find comfort and strength and direction and whatever we need in our lives. He has a compassion that looks beyond what we do, or even beyond what we deserve. He generously wants to help us and express His care towards us at all times. Psalm 103, as you continue to read that, verses 13 and 14, it says, the Lord is like a father to His children, tender, compassionate to those who fear Him. For He knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. I'm glad that our Father in heaven understands our weaknesses, understands when we make mistakes, understands our faults, and yet the Bible says He is tender with us and gives grace to us, even though we may have done things that have been totally wrong, or even if we may have done things where we've rebelled against Him. He's a Father that still loves us as His dear children, as dear daughters and sons of His, and compassion continue to flow out of Him. Now, I realize that some people may have had a bad experience with a earthly father, or may have been taught a wrong perspective of our heavenly father, where he was presented as mean or harsh or authoritarian or judgmental, a God to be afraid of. And, you know, I want to present to you a true representation of the Father, because that has happened. Our indigenous people have had a presentation of our Heavenly Father that has not been along those lines of compassion. They've received a message that very authoritarian and judgmental and harsh and hard. And that's not the true picture of our Heavenly Father. Some of you might have even grown up in a church, and maybe in that church, the presentation of the Heavenly Father, again, was being quite judgmental, being hard on you, a bunch of do's and don'ts, and people, you know, not giving grace like they should. So I want to present to you that side and characteristic of our Heavenly Father, where He is compassionate. He is compassionate towards us. That's throughout Scripture. As you read Scripture, you'll see this verse over and over and over again, where He is compassionate towards us. He understands us. He understands our hurts, our pains, the abuses we go through, the worries, the mistakes. There's a special place in the Heavenly Father's heart for you and for me. And the Bible says He deals with us in tenderness. He deals with us in a compassionate way, showing that He really does care about us and wants to be part of our lives. So friend, you can come to the Father because He's compassionate. Far greater than an earthly father. If you've had a great earthly father, you are blessed, and you should be very, very thankful for that father. And if he's still alive, you should be giving him a call today and just saying, I want to thank you, Dad. Man, you've been such a blessing in my life. But you know, we have a Heavenly Father who's much greater than our earthly father. And He is a compassionate Father. He even calls us His children. He calls us His sons and daughters. And He has a great passion towards each one of us. You know, there's lots of passages of Scripture that describe compassion about our Father. The Bible says He is a father to the fatherless. So for those people that maybe you grew up in your home that maybe you didn't know your father, or maybe you had a bad father experience, and our Heavenly Father says, I want to be a father to you. And He has done that for so many people that have grown up in life and they never had a real father or someone that was really close to them. Well, your Heavenly Father says, I can fill that gap for you. He also says He's a defender of widows. You lose your husband, and you go through the grief, and you go through that sorrow, and our Heavenly Father says, I'm your defender. I can come and fill that gap as well. So He's a Heavenly Father who steps into the gaps that sometimes happen with the loss of a father or a mother or a child or another loved one, and telling us, I can be that person that holds you close. I want to be there for you and come close to you and comfort you. The Bible also says that He is the God of all comfort. In other words, He knows how to comfort us in the best of ways. So definitely He's a person that we need to go to. I like Psalm 27:10. It says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. That's what He will do. There's a comfort that you can have even if you lose your mom and your dad, or you grew up and you never had a mom or dad around. The Lord is saying, I can be that parent for you. That's our Heavenly Father. That's who He is. He's a compassionate Father that welcomes us to come to Him with all of our cares, all the worries, all your wants. Even when we mess up, even when we experience loss, He is always there and ready to shower us with compassion and to hold us close. Our Heavenly Father is compassionate. Secondly, our Heavenly Father is a God who is merciful. He's compassionate. He's kind. He's forgiving, extending mercy and grace even when it's undeserved. Psalm 103:8 says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He extends grace and mercy even when it is undeserved. He doesn't treat us as we deserve. He doesn't treat us as we sometimes deserve. We all make mistakes. We've all have failed at times in our lives. But as we find ourselves coming back to Him and saying, God, I'm sorry, there's always mercy. He extends mercy to us. Even though we don't deserve it, He extends mercy. That's our Heavenly Father. Some of the other verses in Psalm 103 to describe that a little bit better. Verse 3 says, He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. Verse 9 says, He will not constantly accuse us or remain angry forever. Verse 10, He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. Verse 12, He's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. That's the kind of Father that He is. He's merciful to all of us. We deserve punishment. We are all guilty of sin. We have all done wrong in our lives. But the Bible says if we are faithful, if we confess that sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins. You find that in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful, just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness or all wickedness. We have a forgiving Father that forgives sin. That's part of His mercy. He forgives. No matter what we've done, no matter how bad of things we have done, we can find mercy as we come before Him at His mercy seat. So we have a forgiving Father who forgives sin, forgives rebellion. And as we come back to Him, He opens up His arms to us to welcome us back. Kind of like the prodigal son story that we read in the Bible. He'll welcome us, put a ring on our finger, welcome us back into the family, throw a party. And maybe you're here today or you're watching and you're a prodigal. You're someone that used to serve God, but you've walked away from God. You're no longer serving the Lord. Or if you are, you're just serving a tiny little bit. And you know you're not in the right place with God. You need to realize that your Heavenly Father will welcome you with open arms and start loving on you and caring about you once again. And He continues to call. Just like in that picture, He was always looking every day for His son to come down that road. I don't know how long that son was really gone for. I think it was quite a while. But that father every day would go and he would look. That's what your Heavenly Father is like. Every day. Every day He's looking. Are you coming back today? I got so many things for you to enjoy. I got so many things in store for you. You just need to come back. I'll put that ring back on your hand. I'll treat you as a son and a daughter once again. Just come back to me. I'll welcome you with open arms. Our God is holy. He's righteous. He has standards. But at the same time, He flows in mercy, grace, compassion as we come back to Him. The key is to come back to the Lord, to repent of our sins, to express sorrow where we have failed Him. You know, sometimes people think they've gone too far, that they've done things that God would never forgive. And that is not true. The Father is waiting for you to come before Him. He wants you to extend forgiveness to you. He wants to extend mercy to you. Yes, you don't deserve it. That's the wonderful thing for all of us. None of us deserve His grace or His mercy, but He extends it to all of us. That's who He is. That's a characteristic we should be thankful for and be happy for. But there's more. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. And He extends that even when we become overwhelmed with the difficult choices of life that maybe we have made or difficult things that come along our way. He's still that God of mercy, God of comfort, God of strength. But new mercies every morning. Lamentations 3, 22, 23 says this, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." Or other translations say, they are new every morning. Man, that's a wonderful thing. Like if you mess up one day and you just made some terrible choices, you know what? That next morning as you wake up and say, oh God, I'm sorry. There's new mercies that are extended to you every morning, every day. That's the faithful love of our God. That's our Heavenly Father, our merciful God, our compassionate God, our forgiving God, our comforting God. New mercies every day. We serve a merciful Heavenly Father. Next part of that, verse 8 of Psalm 103, describes our Heavenly Father that He is slow to get angry. Again, that's a good thing, that He is slow to get angry. And the reason that He's slow to get angry is because of His compassion and His mercy and His love are so great. So again, verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry. And again, we should all be thankful for that because if we're honest, we've all been guilty of provoking our Heavenly Father by some of the things that we may have done or said. But He's a merciful Father. He's a gracious Father. He's slow to anger. Listen to what Psalm 103, 9 and 10 says. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. You know, let's be honest, sometimes we do deserve the anger and the wrath of God, especially when there's rebellion against God and when we're doing things that we know that we shouldn't be. And yet, we understand that, yes, God's a holy God. He's also a God of justice. So there are times where God will have to act and deal with the evil that is in our world or even the rebellion that may be in us. But thankfully, His mercy and His love are greater qualities than His anger. Sin still will be judged, but every opportunity will be given to us to repent or to change our way because our Father flows in mercy and is slow to anger. A good example of that in the Bible is a story of Jonah. And as Jonah was called to go to the city of Nineveh, it was a very evil, ungodly city. It was a city that was the enemy to the Jews, and Jonah being a prophet, he knew that one day Nineveh was going to come and attack Israel. And so God sent him and told him that because of his anger, because of all these things that were going on in that city and the sin, that he was going to judge the city. Go and proclaim that message. Well, something unusual happened as he proclaimed that message to ungodly people. They responded. They repented. They looked to the Lord, and there was such a good response that God decided not to follow through with his anger. He's slow to anger. Jonah 4, verses 1 and 2, kind of talks about Jonah. He wasn't actually happy about that. Listen to what he says, though. He said, this change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. And so he complained to the Lord about it. He said, didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. That's our God. That's our God. We deserve judgment. We deserve all those things. But He's a compassionate and loving God, slow to anger, quick to turn from that anger because He doesn't want to see anyone perish. You know, as we look at the things in our world today, God still has a desire. He desires no one to perish. That's why I really believe there will be one last revival that will reach our world just because God does not want anybody to perish. So we should be thankful for that. And that our Heavenly Father is slow to anger, willing to give us time because of His compassion and His mercy and love to give that opportunity that we might change and turn from our wrong ways. But at the same time, you don't want to, hold your luck on that, thinking that, I'm going to keep on doing evil and nothing's going to happen. You don't want to keep going down those roads because there is a set time that God will give for you to turn away, to turn back to Him. And so it's very important that we do that. But when we do repent, there's always mercy. There's always forgiveness that is available for us. Psalm 35 says, for His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's how much of a change can take place in your life. Would you come before the Lord, even if you've messed up, done things you shouldn't have done, and you come before the Lord and say, God, I'm so sorry. He can turn that sorrow and turn that grief and turn it into a song. He can turn it into a dance where we dance before Him, where there's happiness once again in our lives. And that's what our Father is trying to tell us. Look, I have so much for you. I have so much good things for you. You just need to come to me. Come back to me. And I will bless you in so many ways. I'll throw the biggest party you've ever seen. That's what He wants to do. So thank God we have a Heavenly Father that is slow to anger, a Father who forgives us of all our sins. And then lastly, from this passage in Psalm 103, verse 8, we see that our Heavenly Father is a God filled with unfailing love. God is love. He is everything that love can be, and He extends that love to all of us. Verse 8 says, the Lord is compassionate, merciful, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. God loves us with a love that has no bounds. It's beyond our understanding. He's passionate towards us, cares about us deeply. It would have been so much easier when you really think about for God just to simply destroy the world. But He didn't. He loved us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16, we know that one. God so loved the world, gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us so much that we give us His Son and make a way that we could be forgiven of our sin. Romans 5:8, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See, God always acts first. He doesn't wait for us to respond first. He'll act first. He'll make a way for us. He'll make it easy for us to come to Him. That's His heart. That's what He wants to do. God's anger of sin could have got the better of Him, but again, His love came through. Oh, how He loves you and me, that He would make a way for sin to be forgiven, that He would make a way that we could all be together with Him in heaven. His love is unmeasurable. It's that great. It's that wonderful. There's no measurement in our world that could tell us how great His love is, because it's beyond all measurement. Kind of remind me of a Sunday school course there for old people that are here, like myself, of Jesus' love is very wonderful. Remember that? So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. You're not there yet. You must be young. But that's how great His love is. You can't measure it. It's beyond it. It's beyond anything you understand. You know, that's a wonderful thing. Psalm 103:11. For His unfailing love towards those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. What's that measurement? How high are the heavens? Even science can't figure that out. They just know it goes on and on and on. That's what God's love is. It goes on and on and on. You cannot measure it. It is so great. So our Heavenly Father will never, never stop loving us. Even when we mess up, even when we rebel, He still loves us. He's a good Father. He's a Heavenly Father that loves us. I realize that message of love has been a message that has been misrepresented as well. I think of that when I'm out with our indigenous people and how a lot of them received a message that God wasn't a God of love. Or as I think of some people that grew up in churches where church was maybe a little bit too strict or whatever, and they kind of got turned off from church, and they weren't feeling the love of God in the place. Sometimes that presentation can be wrong. And we need to be presenting our Heavenly Father as a God of love. He loves us. He's compassionate towards us. He's merciful towards us. He reaches out to us. Even though we're doing wrong, He'll still love us. He'll still welcome us back with open arms. You know, and friends, I really believe that our Heavenly Father is working in these days, revealing Himself and demonstrating His love to those who did not know His love, or for those that maybe experienced it in a wrong way. I really believe that God is really moving amongst the nations and showing people that this is what my love is. This is real love, and showing them. 1 John 4:10 says, this is real love, Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Our Heavenly Father loves us, wants to reveal his love to us in greater and richer ways. As I grow older in Christ, as I grow older in age, I've been finding that his love never fails. And I get to experience aspects of God that I've never experienced before, because there's always more with God. You know, there's no level where you say, I've reached it. Because it's level. It keeps going on and on and on. I pray you'll open up your heart to him today, that you can experience some of that love that he wants to pour into your life. I have a Father this Father's Day, a Heavenly Father that loves me, cares about me, that he's awesome, and he gives me great pleasure that I am known by him. And that same God wants to bring into each of our lives an increasing relationship of love in our lives, that we might know what real love is, what a loving relationship that we can have with our Heavenly Father. He's part of the Godhead, and he loves us. Our Heavenly Father is a God of unfailing love. So as we close here this morning on Father's Day, I just felt reminded to remind you that our Heavenly Father is an awesome Father. There's none like him. There's none like him. No one else can touch our hearts like he does. You could search for all eternity long, and you're going to find there's no one like him. No one. He's the best of the best. He's the great God. And I'm so glad that I have him in my life, and I trust that you are also glad that you have him in your life. And if you happen to be here today, or maybe you're watching today, and you haven't opened up your heart to God, you haven't opened up your heart to Jesus Christ, the way to the Father, well, you can do that today. He'll receive you just as you are. Just call on him. Come before him. You may not understand everything going on, but you can welcome him into your life and say, Jesus, I really don't know all of this, but there's something in my heart that's telling me this is true. And so I'm going to open my heart to you. I'm going to welcome you into my life. I'm going to welcome you to come and take away my sin and change me and make me into a new person, because he's famous for doing that. To be a son and a daughter of the Heavenly Father. And if you're here today and you've had a bad father experience, I want to encourage you today, there's a Heavenly Father that wants to come into your life, and he wants to come and soothe that pain and that hurt, that discouragement that has taken place in your life, and let you know that there is a good Father that cares about you and that loves you.